At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your Hornets podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us here once again on the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. It's a game day edition. Hornets preparing to play the Oklahoma City Thunder, second and final meeting of the season. Charlotte got the first one in the win column. 121-113 was that final score. Been a little while, though, since we've seen the Thunder, so we'll get you reacclimated with that group. Also, want to talk about the team's defense in general and just where we are in the season. Yes, Hornets have been eliminated, but they've been the top spoiler in the NBA now over the last week and a half. We'll talk about that and what spoiler opportunities they have in the near-term future. Helping me on all these topics, one of our favorites, senior writer for Hornets.com, and always part of a Two Sams edition of the Hornets Hivecast, Sam Perley, back with me once again. Sam, thanks so much for joining me.
Of course, thank you for having me. And it's in person right now, if you can't tell. We're in the studio looking face-to-face.
It's been a grueling season. I don't remember it being quite as busy in terms of travel, at least in terms of keeping the two of us apart and not being able to do these in person. So it is fun to get to see you in person and your reaction to my crazy suggestions for topics for the podcast. But I think we got some good ones here for you today. Let's start off with something that's just fundamentally positive here for the Hornets, and that is the play of this squad defensively, or ultimately since the All-Star break. If you look at the pre-All-Star break portion of the season, Charlotte was a rough offensive team with all the injuries at or near the bottom most of the year, and they were in the bottom 5 to 10 most of that time in defensive rating as well. Fast forward now to the post-All-Star break portion of the season, and yes, Charlotte continues to be riddled with injuries, and it has affected, first and foremost, the offense. They are 30th out of 30 in team offensive rating. Defensive rating, it is the polar opposite. They are number one in the NBA, defensive rating of 110.3. Don't worry too much about, you know, how they come up with those numbers. For me, it's a lot like quarterback rating. I don't know how they come up with it. I just know what a good one is, and I know that the good quarterbacks tend to have the good ones. And same thing here. Good defensive teams have good defensive ratings. You look in the neighborhood of the Hornets, the teams that are also top 5 to 10 in defensive rating since the All-Star break. You've got the Boston Celtics, the Milwaukee Bucks. Lakers have been on a really hot streak. They're part of this. Cleveland Cavaliers with those Twin Tower centers, they're in there. Memphis Grizzlies, a good defensive team. Golden State. So Hornets keeping very good company. And even though obviously the offense has been hurt, the defense has dictated this better run of play since the All-Star break.
Yeah, it's a really, you know, encouraging sign. I think after the All-Star break, I think we all kind of like took note after like 5 or 6 or 7 games, like, hey, they're first in defense since the All-Star break. And since then, it's kind of doubled, and at 16 games now. I mean, that's a good chunk of of games. That's a fifth of a season to be first in defense. So it is really good considering, you know, at this point of the season, you know, the Hornets have been eliminated from the playoffs, but to continue to see progress, especially on the defensive end, and a lot of it's coming from the young guys. It's Mark Williams. It's, you know, getting JT Thor and Bryce McGowan and all these guys off the bench combined with, you know, the guys that have been here, PJ Washington, Gordon Hayward, you know, Terry Kelly. It's you know, it's all kind of coming together, and this is what you want to see when the playoffs are kind of out of the picture, and they've been unfortunately out of the picture for a little while now just because of all the injuries and absences this year. To see something like this and have to be able to hold your hat on it and say, hey, after the All-Star break, I think this would be a really cool thing to say at the end of the, you know, with seven games or six games left, you know, they were the best defense in the NBA after the All-Star break. I think that would be a really, really cool accomplishment for this team, given the circumstances and given kind of this time of the season. It would be easy to kind of, you know, just kind of go through the motions and want to get to the offseason if you're, you know, where they're at. But to see them continuing to kind of play this way on the defensive end has been really, really encouraging to see.
It would be an exceptional accomplishment. And there are a couple of elements to this that I wanted to dive into a little deeper. One is, obviously, the injuries have hurt the offense. So there could be an assumption out there that, hey, LaMelo Ball is not at the controls anymore. So clearly they must have slowed down. And therefore that is influencing the defensive numbers. And they are not playing with the same pace we have seen last season when Charlotte had LaMelo Ball basically the entire season. And we are not seeing the exact same pace that we saw in the immediate post All-Star break portion when LaMelo was at the controls. They operated a little bit faster, but if you look post All-Star break in terms of overall pace of play, Charlotte sits in a tie for 11th right now. So they really have not slowed down. They're not operating at a pace like, you know, Chicago or Dallas, who is a slower team getting the ball up and down the floor. Charlotte is still in that upper third region of the NBA in pace of play. So take that assumption out of your head. The other thing to look at, and maybe this is something that's drilled into you when you're a younger player and you're learning the game in the youth league levels, but there's a concept that offense is skill and defense is effort. And I think that's way oversimplistic. There is a lot of skill in defense. There's some players that are exceptional at it. The Rudy Goberts of the world, Mark Williams clearly seems to be someone who has that kind of impact on the game right now amongst the rookie class, but it's also scheme, and then effort comes into play a lot as well. But whether you take that as a truism or you think, no, it's just something you say to little kids and there's a lot more to defense or somewhere in between, the fact that the Hornets have this kind of defensive rating at this point in the season, and as you mentioned, for this long a stretch of time, means it's something that's probably now ingrained into the club, which is something you see with Steve Clifford coach teams. By this point in the season, they've kind of adopted his philosophies, and they really start to take off. Hornets injuries probably keeping them from doing that or having it really mean something. But in terms of what it could mean for next season and the season after that, they clearly seem to be headed on the right path.
You make a really good point there. And I think defense, there is, you know, skills to it. I think it's maybe it's a little bit different than the offensive side. But, you know, Steve Clifford talks a lot about talk and communicating and being early on your talk. If you're late on your talk, it means, you know, defensive assignments, you know, usually from that front court area guys, you know, if you're just a little bit late, it can lead to a lead basket. So kind of being in rhythm there and being in, and just think about how many talented shooters and offensive players there are in the NBA right now. I mean, every single night, it feels like somebody's scoring 40 points or 50 points or hitting 8 or 9 3-pointers. And it's really hard to be a good defense in the NBA. And that was a big goal coming into the season for the Hornets. And I think, like, if you add up the first half of the season, I think they're probably close to like 21st or 20th now. So to getting up into that top 20, which would be an improvement from last year, I think they finished 22nd or 23rd last year. So I think it's been great to see. And, you know, I think it's even more encouraging that you've gotten so many young guys to buy into this philosophy, because I think as a young player coming into the NBA, you know, you might have done something in college. You might have been in a situation, just take Bryce McGowan, for example. He was at Nebraska. He's getting all the shots. He's running a very high usage. Offense is running through him. I'm not saying necessarily wasn't defending or anything, but he was kind of the guy at Nebraska. You put him in here, he's not getting nearly as many shots, or, you know, he might get 2 or 3 a game, maybe. Open looks. So how's he going to find a way to contribute? Well, it's defense, it's rebounding, it's generating deflections, it's creating turnovers, things like that. And you know, JT Thor's done that, Nick Richards has done that, Mark Williams has obviously done that. We've even seen Kai Jones do that. So to get young guys to buy into, not only to buy into defense, but to buy into it and then take the next steps and start getting really, really good at it and seeing results, is really promising, I think, for this Hornets team.
No question about it. Offensive rating pre-All-Star break portion, Hornets were 29th, 30th. Post-All-Star break portion, they've been 30th. The injuries clearly having an impact in what that number is. The offensive rating has gone down post-All-Star break because so many more players have gone down. LaMelo Ball, lately Terry Rozier, Kelly Oubre have been unavailable. We'll see what their status is later on for tonight. Defensive rating, though, again, same injuries applying, but Charlotte has made a massive, massive jump in defensive rating from 25th pre-All-Star break now to number one in the NBA in the post-All-Star break defensive rating category. Best mark in the NBA ahead of the likes of Boston, Milwaukee, Golden State Warriors, Memphis Grizzlies, LA Lakers, a lot of good teams with a lot of very, very good defenses. Coming up next, Hornets obviously don't have much to play for themselves in terms of the playoffs, but they have been playing spoiler quite a bit. They knocked off the Indiana Pacers, who are currently on the outside looking in at the play-in tournament picture. They took down the Dallas Mavericks not once, but twice. That has also taken the Mavs, for the moment, out of the Western Conference postseason picture. What are some other spoiler matchups up on the horizon? We'll talk about those next here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Sam Farber and Sam Perley here with you on the HHC, the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Sam Perley, the team has been eliminated from postseason contention now for a little bit over a week. It happened the weekend after the loss to Philadelphia, and under ordinary circumstances, ordinary assumptions, you would say, well, your team's been eliminated. This is about the time that players start to pack it in. The effort comes down, at least the incentives to try hard, at minimum after a bad quarter or a bad run, they start to pile up, and it's hard to overcome those things. That's human nature in a certain respect, but it hasn't been the nature of the Charlotte Hornets this season. Since being mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, Charlotte is 3-1, three wins in their four games, and have just been playing some of their best overall effort basketball of the season. So, as we indicated at the end of last segment, been able to play spoiler a little bit. We'll see, you know, Indiana and Dallas both have some runway to work with. They can still make their way into the playoffs. But for the moment, they've been knocked out of the play-in tournament for their respective conference standings by their losses to the Charlotte Hornets, multiple in the case of Dallas, one for Indiana. There is obviously a game with similar implications tonight, with Charlotte taking on Oklahoma City, who is right at that edge of top 10 for the play-in tournament and outside looking in. And then there's some other matchups that Charlotte might be able to play spoiler in some different ways. What are some of those spoiler matchups that you see on the horizon, and what do you take away from the Hornets playing that role so well?
Well, to answer the playing the role of spoiler, I personally love it. I think it's fun. We both agree we would love to be playing, or we'd love to see the Hornets be playing for playoff seeding or being contention and really having a, you know, and I remember last year, kind of the night to night, you're winning and then you're looking to see what other teams do. I mean, that's kind of exciting, and I think everybody would like that. But obviously, that's not on the table this year. This this is kind of the next best thing. And I, you know, being at that Dallas game on Sunday and just kind of seeing, especially coming off winning in Dallas the other night, and just kind of how much of it kind of threw the Mavericks for a little bit of a spin, you know, losing that game at home with a rest advantage and getting Kyrie Irving back that game, and then to go and beat them again on Sunday. That was one of my favorite games of the year. Just, you know, if you can't be there, you're going to make it harder for other teams to get there as well. So I personally love it. I don't know about you necessarily, but I think it's a fun role to kind of be the team that is getting in the way of some other teams' playoff aspirations kind of down the stretch here. And in terms of matchups for the Hornets coming up that could influence kind of the playoff or play in, obviously you mentioned Oklahoma City tonight. They're right on that 10th spot. They have Chicago on Friday, who I think is in the play-in spot, but they're still, I think the East is kind of, there's a pretty big gap between, it's like 2.5-3 games between Chicago at 10 and then
Pacers and Wizards. And the Hornets, to their credit, created some of that gap with their win over Indiana. I think the magic number for Chicago is somewhere around three or four wins. But at the same time, they are, at least standings-wise, not record-wise, but standing-wise, exactly where the Hornets were last year, where they're looking at the scoreboard saying, can someone please knock off Toronto or Atlanta now so that our wins mean a little bit more and we can gain that half game, that little, that inch that we need to rise from 10th to 8th.
Yeah, so I think even by the time the Hornets host the Bulls on Friday, they might have all the four of those play-in teams kind of locked in. It's just what order they're going to be in. And then you go right into two games against Toronto, who are also in that 7-10 range too. So they could certainly have an impact in these next four games on the seeding for the play-in. Oklahoma City might be a big difference. I mean, you lose a game in the Western Conference, you can go from 8th to 12th in one night. So, but after that, the Chicago, Toronto all at home, that'll be, you know, interesting. And other thing I think is kind of fun is seeing other teams around the league root for the Hornets because it helps their team, or seeing other fans root for the Hornets. I think team that benefited the most from Dallas losing twice was Oklahoma City, ironically, who they're facing tonight. So, and the Pelicans, I think, has also really benefited from it too. So, you know, putting a big damage in somebody else's playoff chances, but you're also helping other teams too that need those teams to lose too. So we'd obviously love to be playing for our own playoff aspirations at the time, but it's fun to kind of throw a little bit of chaos and be the one stirring the pot here at the end, these final six or seven games.
It is a role to play, and so you take solace in whatever you can. The frustrating thing to me, and this was frustrating last season as well, but it just feels like the Hornets got the wrong end of the stick, because I don't look at, in terms of how good a team is, standings mean the most, but I look at teams saying, okay, that's a 50-win team. Like, you're a big baseball fan. There's a difference between winning your division and being a 95 or a 100-win team. There is a different echelon of quality that's required to win that many games. Same thing is true for basketball. It's great to say you won your division and you get that banner, but is that team as good as a team who finished second in their division who won 60 games, let's say, in a season, while the team that won their division won it at 50 or 48. There's clearly a different quality. And so the Hornets being above 500 last season meant something. And just looking at the standings, looking at the win percentages, it is a little frustrating to know that last year's record of 43-39, this year, if you plug it into how things will probably finish out in the West, you're probably in either fifth or sixth place. You're probably in the playoff bracket automatically without having to play in the play-in tournament, let alone be the 10th seed. And since we want to do apples to apples and not say, all right, you can't just put yourself in the Western Conference for the heck of it, you didn't play the same schedule, fair enough. Let's put the Hornets into the East. They would be finishing in eighth place quite easily, I might add. So just bad luck, I would say, for the Hornets, that not only for all their efforts were they not rewarded with the automatic entry into the playoff bracket, but they had to win, in theory, two games on the road or no dice. And this season, obviously, there's still a handful of games left to play out. But if the percentages hold where they're at or relatively close to it, Charlotte would be in eighth place playing on the road for the first play-in tournament game. But knowing if they win, they're in, and knowing that they have one more at home. But that's just the Hornets' poor luck, I suppose, for last season and into this one.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you that every year is a little bit different in the NBA. For so long, the Western Conference was considered the the powerhouse going into the West, and there was always kind of these – God, I want to say there was 1 year, maybe like 10 years ago. I don't know why this came to my mind right away, but the Phoenix Suns – this is before the play-in tournament. Phoenix Suns won 48 games and finished in ninth place. I think it was like 2013.
And Golden State did that too.
Yeah, 2012, 2013, 14 kind of range. And you look at it now, I mean, if the Hornets had their record last – I mean, I think you just said in the Western Conference, they could be a home court advantage team if they're in the Western Conference, if they use last year's record for this year. So it just goes to show you that every year is a little bit different. I think it goes through cycles. I mean, I think right now, if you told me anyone of Philadelphia, Boston, or Milwaukee would be the favorite, whoever comes out of the East is going to be the favorite for the NBA championship, I would probably agree. Just, again, a lot of things can happen with the playoffs too. So, hopefully it kind of comes back around a little bit. You know, it's, yeah, I didn't even think of that. Now I'm like, kind of my mind is like, wow, that is a really good point. If you had the 43 wins and finished in 10th, and right now 10th is the Chicago Bulls, and they have 36 wins. So say they pick up, I don't know, two or three more over these final six games and go 500. I mean, that's...
Give them six more. They still don't get there.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good one. They win out. They probably wouldn't be in 10th then, but, 10th place is probably going to end up being,
under 500.
39 and 43, maybe. By the way, four games worse than last year.
Just to show that my memory is not completely gone, 07-08, Golden State Warriors under the great Don Nelson at the time, 48 and 34, outside looking in. The worst record, quote unquote, to make the postseason that year in the Western Conference was 50 and 32. You need 50 wins to make the party. Meanwhile, on the Eastern Conference side, Atlanta was the eighth seed at 37 and 45. So every year is a little bit different. Again, I think if you want to really be, and you're looking for where the Hornets want to be headed, they want to be a 60 win team. They don't want to worry about where are we going to be in the play-in tournament bracket. They want to be solid 60-win franchise. You're going to the playoffs every year, and it's about, seeding matters a little bit, but ultimately it's how well are you playing at the right time of the season. But that's aspirations that hopefully will kick in next season. As for the here and now, Hornets have a matchup with the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll preview it for you next here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Sam Farber and Sam Perley here with you, a Two Sams edition of the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Hornets, of course, eliminated from postseason contention, record of 25-51. They will visit Oklahoma City, who is a game under 500, and very happy that the Dallas Mavericks just wrapped up a home-and-home with Charlotte, because Hornets taking them down not once but twice has meant the Thunder have moved in to a top-10 position, at least for the moment. Thunder coming off a win over the Portland Trailblazers on the road, 118-112. Portland, another team, somewhat surprising, has dipped here towards the finish line. They are also on the outside looking in. But as for this matchup here and now, Charlotte did get a win over the Thunder back just before the new year, 121-113. That was one of those fond memories we have, of course, Sam Perley, where LaMelo Ball, Terry Rozier, and Gordon Hayward all were available. LaMelo really shined, one assist away from a triple-double in that one. Was good times. In any case, Hornets versus Thunder, we need players to watch for both sides as well as a statistic to watch. Where would you like to begin?
I always go the same order, so I'll start with Hornet player to watch. My guy's going to be PJ Washington over the, I guess, Dallas series, the two games they played against the Mavericks. 24.5 points, 9 rebounds, 3.5 assists, a steal and a half, and one block. Shot 46%, and had a season-high 12 rebounds on Sunday for his third double-double of the campaign. I just think he's at his best when he's playing aggressive right out of the start. I think when he starts looking for a shot early and gets a few to drop, I think he just always seems to be, I think you can say that about a lot of players, but I think it particularly applies to PJ Washington. He just, when he gets going and has, you know, a first quarter where, you know, these 3 or 4, 4 or 5, 8 or 10 points, I just think it really kind of gets him into a groove early. And I think he was a big reason that they got off to those hot starts against Dallas and even New Orleans too. He had a really good start against New Orleans before things got kind of crazy with guys exiting the game too. So, and one other thing, last time they played Oklahoma City, PJ Washington had 25 points on 10 of 13 shooting, made all 7 of his 2-point attempts, and that 10 of 13 was his best single game field goal percentage of the season, to about 77% too. So hopefully PJ Washington has a repeat performance tonight against the Thunder.
He was going to be my first choice, but you took him, so nice pick. I'm going to go with essentially the center spot. I think the Hornets have a huge advantage over the Oklahoma City Thunder when it comes to the center. They basically don't have one. They have an empty spot waiting for Chet Holmgren when he's healthy, hopefully in their perspective next season. They did have one earlier in the season, Mike Muscala, who came off the bench, but they traded him to Boston. So they ultimately don't really have a center out there to play right now, and they've been able to work their way around it. They've got other guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, clearly, who's taken his game to another level, and other rookies who have played well, and some players that are bigger but not as big as a center. So I got to be specific here. The last we heard from Coach Steve Clifford, starting with yesterday's pregame show, or the pregame show the other day, a previous game against the Dallas Mavericks, was that Charlotte was going to go with a center rotation right now, ensuring that Mark Williams, Nick Richards, and Kai Jones all got time out there. Nick Richards got last game off, so stands to reason he should be out there. And I think any of the centers, quite frankly, particularly though Mark Williams and Nick Richards, with their level of experience and what they've put out there, even against some of the better centers, quite frankly, in the NBA, statistically speaking, I think they would have good days. So I'm going to go with Nick Richards for this one. I think he's got a good chance at a double-double. And really, ultimately, this is a big key for the Hornets moving forward, because what we saw against Dallas was they changed their lineup. They brought their starting center, Powell, out of the rotation and tried to play small, tried to force Mark Williams onto the perimeter, tried to force him out of the lineup. And Mark held his own. Not only did he defend the perimeter well, but when he got matchups down low against smaller defenders, wingspan or not, he has a 6-inch height advantage, and whether it ended up being a 6-inch or a foot taller than whoever was going up against him, he was able to just have his way underneath the basket. So I think if Mark Williams were playing, he would have been my pick, but I believe he'll be out for this one tonight. So Nick Richards is my pick for player to watch for the Hornets. Where would you like to go next? A stat to watch or a Thunder player?
I will go Thunder player. My Thunder player to watch is Jalen Williams, and this is the Jalen Williams. Yes, I knew you were going to ask. The J-A-L-E-N Williams was a lottery pick last year. I think he went like 12th or 13th, really kind of flew through, you know, the pre-draft process out of nowhere at the combine, and just the Thunder ended up taking him pretty high, and he's really paid off. from Santa Clara is where he went to school. Before the All-Star break, wasn't a full-time starter, 12.5 points, 51% shooting, 32% from three in 53 games. Before the All-Star break, since the All-Star break, he has found another gear, averaging 19 points, 55% shooting. Three-point shot has jumped from that 32% up to 45%. Rebounds are up, assists are up. I mean, I think it kind of caught people off guard, the Thunder taking him as high as they did in the lottery. And, you know, he's proven that he is really kind of continued that sort of developmental, I guess, fast track that, you know, a lot of people didn't see him in college out at Santa Clara. And he just has really turned him at very, very talented player. I think the Thunder got a really, really good guy. So Jalen Williams is doing it all right now and has obviously become a very talented scorer and is scoring from 3-point range. So he's a guy the Hornets are going to have to really zero in on tonight. If they want to make it three straight wins.
Excellent player, and he's had a very fine rookie season. I'm going to go with the established star, though. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander finally rewarded with an all-star nod, and boy, is he having a tremendous season. He has scored at least 25 points in every game he's played in since the all-star break, and he has scored 20 or more points in every game he's played in outside of the all-star game itself, which altered minutes, altered rules, but 20 points in every game he's played in since the calendar turned to 2023. He has been an exceptional scorer, particularly strong here in the month of March, where he's averaged almost 33 points per game, shot 44% from three. He does it all for this team. And yeah, there is a lot of anticipation and excitement for what they might look like with Chet Holmgren if he reaches the kind of heights that they have. And if they do end up missing the postseason, if the lottery were to fall in their favor, they could add another superstar talent to that group. They'd be excited about it. But I'm thrilled for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He has toiled for a long time in obscurity. He's put up similar numbers, not quite this good, but similar numbers for most of his career. And now to see him really taking off and seeing the league recognize his ability and his greatness, it's been fun to watch. So SGA, my pick for tonight's player to watch for the Thunder. Last but not least, we need a statistic to watch.
Yeah, my statistics to watch is going to be, I guess, halftime leads. Hornets have done a really good job of getting off to fast starts. His last two games against Dallas, they had leads of at least 19 points in the first half in each of these games. This season, when the Hornets hold a halftime lead, they are 15-8, which includes an 8-2 mark on the road. And when they trail or are tied at halftime, they are 10-43 and 4-25 on the road. So got to get off to a fast start. I think they've done a really good job having the right energy, right urgency to start these things. And you play from ahead. You want to play from ahead on the road. It's really hard to come back from 10-12 down at home, let alone on the road. They've done it a couple times this year. Obviously don't want to do it tonight against a Thunder team that is has a lot to play for in terms of playoff seeding and playing positioning that we talked about in the earlier segment too. So get off to another fast start and hopefully you can finish it off in the end.
I like it. I'm going to go with fouls. I think that has been one major sticking point for the Hornets at different times of the season. Had some issues, particularly in the first quarter during that last road trip of just having a parade route to the foul line. First quarter against Indiana, the home game against Miles Turner. He lived at the foul line for the first quarter and things really didn't look good for the Hornets. Once they sort that out, they play much better basketball and just look better overall. But I think that could be a major sticking point here. If you can keep the opposition in general off the foul line, the Hornets defense clearly, as we've been talking about, is playing at a very, very high level, and they're going to make you earn it with a shot that you weren't originally anticipating wanting there for that possession. So keeping them off the foul line is going to be my key. Also, just to throw it in there, Thunder, one of the better free throw shooting teams in the NBA. They're above 80% on the season from the charity stripe. Hornets are below 75%. So fouls, free throws, however you want to slice that one up, that is my stat to watch. We will see how it all pans out. No matter how it turns out, we know Sam Perley will have the write-up for it on Hornets.com. Sam, thanks so much for joining us today here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks as well to our producer, Rob Longo, and thanks most of all to all of you for tuning in. Tomorrow, there will be a wrap-up edition of the Hornets Hivecast, and guess what? Sam Perley is pegged to be on that one as well. I know you're excited, Sam.
Oh, yes, I am. I think a 4-5 stretch. I did 3 in a row. Took the second Dallas game off, and then this one, so I've lost count. Got to get them in before the season ends.
You know, the Hornets are not taking anything for granted. We'll miss these games when they're gone, and clearly Sam Perley will miss the podcast as well. Sam, thanks as always for joining us here today, and we'll look forward to hearing from you tomorrow, and we look forward to talking to all of you tuned in wherever you might be. For Sam Perley and Rob Longo, I'm Sam Farber saying it's been a pleasure and a privilege having you along. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit hornets.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.